Since the beginning of the human race, families have been the foundation of our species' survival. Mothers, fathers, grandparents, aunts, uncles, cousins, and siblings have helped to feed, protect, and educate their fellow humans who they share a common ancestry with. Families maintain cultural norms and customs, offer emotional and even financial support if one of their members falls on hard times. Families have been the center point of civilization, and everyone instinctively knows they are the most important thing in life. But now our modern society is plagued by broken families missing tight-knit social structures, which is causing a cascading failure that is having devastating effects emotionally and financially that reverberate throughout the entire country. It's largely due to single mothers. No offense if you are one or were raised by one, many of which were raised by single mothers themselves, compounding the problem. Working mothers who turn their children over to strangers at daycare centers so they can go sit in a cubicle behind a computer for 8 hours a stretch only contributes to the breakdown, a situation which is impossible to avoid for most families because of the current cost of living. The ideal single family income with a stay-at-home mom of the 1950s is sadly a bygone era in America. Parents used to be able to even trust leaving their children alone in front of the television when Sesame Street or Barney and Friends were on to keep them entertained while the mom did laundry, cleaned the house, or got dinner ready. But today, the major brand name television stations are cultural poison, and toddlers are given internet-connected devices to play games and watch cartoons, which are covertly being used to indoctrinate them with enemy propaganda before they can even talk. Political science professor James Kurth once wrote, "The great movement of the second half of the 19th century was the movement of men from the farm to the factory. The greatest movement of the second half of the 20th century has been the movement of women from the home to the office." This movement, he said, separates the parents from the children as well as enabling the wife to separate herself from the husband. By splitting the nuclear family, it is helping bring about the replacement of the nuclear family with the non-family. TikTok stars, teachers, and traditional Hollywood celebrities have mostly replaced parents as the primary influence on children's lives. And now that we're into the third generation of nearly half of all children growing up in broken homes where the parents have separated or were never married in the first place, perhaps out of spite from being raised in dysfunctional families, many liberals today are vehemently anti-family and despise what was once the cultural norm, like Edward Norton's character in Fight Club, who felt like destroying something beautiful because of his nihilism. The official website for the Black Lives Matter movement explained one of their goals was to disrupt the Western prescribed nuclear family structure. Not preserve, protect, or restore, but to disrupt and dismantle it. Of course, if there's any demographic group that needs a little improvement in their family structure, it's, well, their community. But hey, just keep on doing what you've been doing. The 75% fatherless home rate has done wonders for your culture. At a TEDx talk, a popular forum for supposed experts to present their ideas, feminist Mirav McCanley detailed why she wants marriage to be abolished.
We must cancel marriage. Not only religious marriage. Marriage is not an issue of religion. Also civil marriage. I want all secular states to totally eliminate all registration and regulation of marriage. I want to cancel the very concept of marriage.
Cancel marriage, she says, and she certainly isn't alone. Feminist activist and lesbian Masha Gessen once admitted that the left's goal of legalizing gay marriage was to eventually eliminate marriage and monogamous relationships altogether, saying this.
Fighting for gay marriage generally involves lying about what we're going to do with marriage when we get there. You know, because we lie that the institution of marriage is not going to change. And that is a lie. The institution of marriage is going to change, and it should change. And again, I don't think it should exist. I don't like taking part in creating fictions about my life. That's sort of not what I had in mind when I came out 30 years ago. It's a no-brainer that the institution of marriage should not exist. So that.
She's a contributor for the New York Times, the Washington Post, the Los Angeles Times, and numerous other mainstream publications. So she's not just some fringe feminist on TikTok. She is one of the establishment's premier LGBTQ activists who now uses they-them pronouns to be extra woke. There is a relentless assault on intimate and committed relationships, not to mention gender norms and heterosexuality in general. And aside from the moral decay in society, technology is making it easier than ever for people to shop around for one-night stands and swipe through dating apps to see if the grass appears greener elsewhere. Feminism isn't about equal rights for women anymore, and it hasn't been for generations. It's about disrupting the social order and the division of labor and the partnerships between the two sexes. It is attempting to suppress the natural instincts of women and turn them against men, or the patriarchy, as feminists say, and even against the idea of being mothers. Feminism has meant different things depending on the time period, and has gone through four different phases, or waves as they're called, since the early 1900s, when groups of women banded together to demand the right to vote, called women's suffrage, resulting in the 19th Amendment passing in 1919. The 1960s and 70s marked the second wave, where groups of women demanded that they be given more political positions and worked to legalize abortion, succeeding in 1973's Roe v. Wade decision. But many feminists still weren't happy, so they continued complaining about things, which led to the third wave in the 1990s, where they demanded even more women be given leadership positions in government and business, while simultaneously complaining about men objectifying them as they boosted their sex appeal through every means possible in order to use their sexuality to their advantage, since they know that men are innately suckers for any beautiful woman's requests. Then around 2012, the fourth wave of feminism arose due to the advent of social media, which allowed angry and ugly women across the country to connect with each other online and affirm each other's maladjustments and abnormal ideas, culminating in new causes like celebrating abortions, obesity, and their periods. Stuck in online echo chambers, most fourth wave feminists, who are usually rainbow people with blue hair, which is used to signal to others that's who they are, these women usually find themselves trapped in a downward spiral of hating normal women, especially beautiful ones, and white women, for existing, and are so spiteful of their happiness, marriages, and motherhood, that the fourth wave feminists are determined to tear down every institution and social norm that embraces such lifestyles. The annual Women's March that's held every year in Washington, D.C., isn't about women's rights. It's a feminist parade. This is where Madonna voiced her fantasies about doing you-know-what to the White House after Donald Trump beat Hillary Clinton for the presidency, and where actress Ashley Judd did her famous rant about her period and having to pay sales tax when she buys tampons. The feminists today who constantly whine about imaginary problems like men supposedly making more money than women fail to acknowledge that men often work jobs which involve much higher safety risks and are exposed to greater physical and health hazards. Not to mention they regularly work jobs that involve backbreaking labor like construction, pouring concrete, laying brick, roofing, etc. And also jobs that involve getting dirty like a mechanic or a garbage man. A Sex and the City writer, the famous show that aired on HBO following the exploits of a group of women living in New York, later said she regrets choosing a career over having children now because she is truly alone. She's worth nearly $20 million, but now she regrets where she placed her priorities when she was younger. Most feminists eventually find themselves in the same position, minus the wealth, realizing that once their looks fade and guys stop paying attention to them, they have no purpose in life and nobody loves them. And of course, hookup apps have cheapened relationships, leading to others being treated as if they're disposable, and virtually ruined dating dynamics, with a massive percentage of men never even asking a girl for her phone number or out on a date in person these days because they're too intimidated. And among the younger generations, there's a new stigma around this because everybody is expected to only slide into the DMs or use an app. One survey of Tinder users found that 2/3 of them were already in a relationship, and many of them were even married, but not all of them were looking to cheat or find someone to dump their partner for. Many of them, it turns out, just crave the attention of others, like those who obsess over their Instagram likes. They're seeking validation through matches on Tinder, even though they never intend to actually meet up with anyone. pathetic. We have some major problems in society, and it's an understatement to say they're getting worse, but I do detail some powerful solutions and explain how things got this bad in the first place in my new book, The War on Conservatives. So order it in paperback from Amazon.com or download the ebook from any of the major ebook stores. And of course, there's a link to the Amazon listing in the description below. So click it and head on over there and check it out.